I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It's Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
As I'm sure you know, there is no benefit to living in the past, but visiting is another matter altogether. That's the whole idea behind Memorial Day, to remember the past, those of our fallen heroes and those loved ones who have gone on before us, a time of remembering them fondly and with respect and a measure of reverence. And every first day of the week, just as the Lord taught and as the apostles taught, just as the Bible says, we remember what the Lord did for us all those years ago on Calvary. His body hanging there upon the tree for us, his blood there shed for our sins' remission. And the cost of our salvation comes to our minds each Lord's Day as we take of these sacred emblems and use them as a memory tool to draw our minds back to those years before. There are times when the past is worth visiting. And I realize Paul said in Philippians 3 that we should, as he, forget those things which are behind. But he's not talking about this kind of memory we're talking about now. He's talking there about bringing to mind and attaching himself to those past accomplishments that he had outside and without Christ, those of his own ingenuity, his own abilities, and those matters of his past that he might otherwise be tempted to boast of or brag about. Paul says, those are just nothing but rubbish to me, that I may win Christ. And those are those things he forgets of the past. The Bible encourages us to remember those things of the past that make us better people, that strengthen us. In Romans chapter 15, Paul brings to mind a passage about Christ and how God put upon him the reproaches that fell on the Father, showing that we also should be willing to do that in our lives. And then he says in verse 4, speaking of that passage of the Old Testament he's brought to mind, which things written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Well, those things written aforetime, they have a purpose. They produce in our minds hope and comfort and instruction. We'd be less without them, and we are more because of them. There is a reason to look back and a lesson to be learned from history. And really that serves as so much of the foundation for this book of Hebrews from which our reading this morning comes. The writer of Hebrews is doing his dead level inspired best to encourage those who are faint of heart not to leave the church, not to leave Christ, and go back as Jewish Christians to the law of Moses, which they had left for whatever reason, for a sense of safety or security, perhaps. But misguided was that idea. And by various means, the inspired writer draws their mind to the facts of the case by way of logic, that we have so much better now in Christ than you ever had under the law. We have a better priest and high priest, a better sacrifice, a better offering, a better covenant. He brings to mind theological and rather deep concerns about Christ as our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, an obscure Bible character found just in the book of Genesis and chapter 14, later mentioned by David in the Psalms. And aside from those two scant mentions, we have only this in Hebrews about Melchizedek. But really, so much the foundation of Hebrews is a matter of memory. In two cases, in two categories, remember people that you don't want to be like, don't follow their bad example, and remember those of your heroes that you want to be like, you do follow their examples. And thus it is meaningful for his readers to remember, to look back, and to use these examples as some foundation for their own lives, their own pattern of conduct. Now, before he mentions the good, he suggests the bad early on in the book when he brings to mind their ancestors who had been freed from Egyptian bondage. Hundreds of years they've now been in bondage, but because of God's power seen through Moses and Moses' brother Aaron, and because of the effect of those 10 plagues upon the heart of Pharaoh, finally he relents for a while and allows the Israelites to leave Egypt. And they cross the Red Sea as on dry ground, find themselves now on Canaan's side, the promised land side of the Red Sea, have a wonderful time of thanksgiving in Exodus chapter 15. And yet they spend 40 years wandering about seemingly aimlessly as God leads them around a meandering and uncertain journey, which shouldn't take them that long, but took them an entire generation, because God saw to it that entire generation that had left Egypt died in the wilderness, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And why? Well, the last verse of this third chapter of Hebrews tells us why. They entered not into their rest because of unbelief, faithlessness. It revealed itself in various ways. They were outright disobedient. They built themselves a golden calf. They're always murmuring against God and God's servant Moses. But regardless of the symptoms, the disease was the same. It was the disease of faithlessness, unbelief. And that's why they didn't enter the rest. That rest God provided for them that flowed with milk and honey. That rest of Canaan that lie just behind, just away from the Jordan. They could have been there 40 years before, but they weren't, because they didn't believe what God had promised. They didn't trust what God provided. They gave up on the God who would not give up on them. And so the writer of Hebrews says, don't be like they were. The same word was preached to them that's been preached to you, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it then. Allow God's word to produce faith in you that will continue, that will persevere, that will overcome, that won't give up, that will keep on keeping on no matter what life throws at you, that'll keep on keeping on no matter what the obstacle or the adversity, to keep on keeping on. You don't want to be like those Israelites who God allowed to die in the wilderness. You don't want to be like them. They didn't enter their rest. And you may not enter yours, the writer says. Your rest of heaven. Because just as God has provided a physical rest for those of His people back then in Canaan, so He has promised a spiritual rest for all of us in heaven one day. But we must not be like they were and draw back, give up, and lose faith. And so remember them so as not to follow their example. Now, that part of Hebrews we know, but perhaps know a bit less than this next. It is that which the writer of Hebrews references in the beginning of chapter 12. It is on the heels of all he said in chapter 11. After giving a very brief definition of what faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the assurance of things not seen. For by it, he says, the elders obtained a good report. And that's the point of this entire 11th chapter. These elders who obtained a good report from heaven because of not their lack of faith, but the quantity of it and the depth of it. They didn't give up. Their faith was seen in what they believed and in what they did and in how they continued doing what they did. And so the writer of Hebrews will begin with the simple story of a man named Abel, who's contrasted with his brother Cain. Now, there is a lot in that story that happened that we're not told about, and we have to speculate about. And sometimes the speculation is warranted. Sometimes I think it becomes outlandish. But we just know what the Bible tells us. God commanded a sacrifice. And the two brothers gave a sacrifice. One sacrifice, Abel's, a bloody sacrifice, was accepted. The other sacrifice of Cain, a matter of grain and vegetable, this plant-based sacrifice was not accepted. Now why? It never tells us why, and that's a matter of some interesting speculation. But rather than Cain just accepting the fact that his sacrifice was rejected, rather than that, he turned upon his brother Abel and killed him, for which he suffered a great calamitous consequence. But Abel, his voice still cries out, as it were, from the grave, as one accepted by doing what God said do. And the fact that here in Hebrews it says that Abel, by faith, offered his sacrifice. And knowing that faith comes by believing what God has said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Paul tells us, then we must accept the fact that God had said what kind of sacrifice he wanted. Cain did not listen to what God said, and Abel did. And the one remembered is not Cain. In fact, I've used the name Cain a number of times in this lesson already. God never mentions it once in Hebrews 11 because that's not the name he wants us to remember and to follow. It's Abel's example we're supposed to follow. Be like him. Be like Abel. And then we read out to the list of men like Enoch who walked with God and was taken. And men like Noah who went against the grain of all the world was doing, all the wicked were saying, and chose instead to live a life based upon God's direction and God's promise. And use that as a good example. By faith, Noah, when he is warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world in righteousness. Well, what did Noah do? Well, the world was wrong. The world was wicked. Every thought of the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. In contrast, we have Noah at his family, perfect in their generations. Noah, who is said to have walked with God. God told him what to do, build the ark. Told him how to build it, of gopher wood. Told him how big to build it, 300 by 50 by 30 cubits. Told him by the windows and the doors, one and one. And told him to pitch it within, without, with pitch, and bring in animals by twos and sevens. And the last verse of chapter 6 of Genesis says simply, thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Well, that's why Noah is mentioned here as one of these elders who obtained a good report in Hebrews 11, because his faith is that we should remember and emulate in our lives. He kept on regardless of what others were doing. He persevered regardless of what was happening. He worked and he worked and he worked for over a century with his sons building that ark, and he did it just as God said do it, not adding to what God said, not taking from what God has said, and not ever giving up because what he was told hadn't come yet. There's an example to follow. And we haven't time this morning to go into all the rest of the stories from Hebrews chapter 11, but the whole point the writer is making is simply this. Rather than being like those Israelites who died in the wilderness, be like their elders, their Hebrews, their heroes that did so much because of their faith. Be like them. Now, I mentioned this morning for two reasons. Number one, it's always good to remember things that help us either to say, I'm not going to do it that way. Or memories that say, that's a good example, I'm going to follow this person and the good example they left. Memory is good when used to help shape us in the right way. But second is perhaps a more personal, perhaps even more painful observation. And that is, how will we ourselves one day be remembered? Now, that's an interesting proposition. What will others remember about us after we're gone? I don't know. I can't answer for you, nor you for me. Perhaps none of us for any of us. Because those who remember us will remember based upon their own memories. But I do know this. When all is said and done and the dust of our life is blown away, and all that's left of us is a memory fading in the distance, I'd rather be those in the end of Hebrews in chapter 11 than those early in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3. I'd rather be those elders who obtained a good report and who others look to as a good example than those like the Israelites who perished in the wilderness, who served as nothing but a bad example. How will you be remembered? How will I be remembered? Well, the way to change that, if the answer is not what we'd like, is to begin changing now. Now, perhaps you're with us this morning and not a Christian. Don't leave life that way. And as a Christian, perhaps you've wandered away, need to come back. Don't leave life that way. If you need to come, please come now as together we stand and sing.